Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can you still recall the time we cried? Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
Hey, welcome back to the Hardline. 590 The Fan Camp in Essen, 590thefan.com. It's a Hardline. TJ Moe and John Hadley here with you until 3 o'clock. Matt Rocchio, I would like to call him or board up and then he would be engaged today, but he heard soccer may be coming. He has been running around the studio naked ever since. I've called the police. We will get this taken care of shortly. 855-282-8255. So far, Brian from Edwardsville has given the best text of the year, and that is his suggestion that we call the potential new MLS soccer team the St. Louis Football Cardinals.
Although I like that he also had the presence of mind to be like, not even try to pass it off as the official name. He said the unofficial name. He said he's not even trying to pass it off, and I think that's smart because he's playing right into the we got to do the European style, but we can have fun with the unofficial name.
Yeah,
and just that it's so good.
And you know what FC stands for, of course, right? Football club.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what and I'm sure that's going to be a debate we'll have eventually. Is once the name comes out, should it be FC? Should it be SC? I think you roll with the class and go with FC. But that's just me.
I prefer the proper English terminology.
SC.
Huh? Yes.
Technically,
soccer club.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem that a lot of people over in Europe don't like to talk about. Soccer is just it's just an English term for early club soccer or club football.
But you're confusing yourself.
They get their panties in the bunch about it.
I think we should still call it the St. Louis Football Cardinals. Okay. I've changed my thoughts. I think Tigers need to be kept at Mizzou, and I'm all about stealing the old football Cardinals and the baseball Cardinals name for the soccer team. Let's keep St. Louis. St. Louis. Let's do it. And also, when we get an expansion NFL team in 10 to 15 years, John, they're going to be the St. Louis football, not football, football Cardinals. And we'll go back to our heyday.
We'll never have another NFL team in the city, ever.
I disagree.
Ever. Ever.
Did you think they would after the Cardinals left?
Yes.
Ma'am?
Yeah. Because you always knew that the possibility was there because it was a Midwestern city. You just needed a stadium. Nobody particularly liked what Bidwell did, you know.
Really, the only negativity was that just that Tagliabue seemed to have an obvious mislike for the city of St. Louis. Dislike for the city of St. Louis, and because if you go back to the '80s, I mean, St. Louis was the economy of St. Louis was much better than what is
so
now.
Roll with me on this, John,
dude. If somebody wants to move a franchise, they're going to move a franchise.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's how the problem you guys have is that.
You know, oh, it's Tagliabue. Oh, it's Goodell. Oh, no. If an owner is set on moving, he's going to move that franchise.
I don't think Goodell has anything against St. Louis.
And in the end, dude, let me tell you something. They wanted to be in Arizona. Just that simple. They wanted another Western presence.
The reason what Roxanne matters is because it's for expansion. That's where it matters if they like you or not. You're right.
And
it does not matter
economy things
for moving.
No matter what, the economy, it's... If you were looking at St. Louis in the late 80s, I'm sure you were looking at a much different economical picture than you are now.
You were looking at a vibrant city.
Right. And so it does, actually, I think what Rock's saying does matter for expansion, which is the only way St. Louis is ever getting a team.
St. Louis never getting another team. It's not going
to
happen.
And it would have to be because the economy, first of all, you'd have to join the city and the counties we've talked about. You'd have to actually become a hub for startups.
Well, we don't even have this conversation because it's never going to happen.
Oh, well, I think it's going to happen.
Wait, I have a really dumb idea.
Uh-huh. You'll be dead by then, so it won't happen in your life.
No, the damages. I've talked to 3 NFL executives in just the last one to start August. There's never going to be another team.
The damages in this new lawsuit are so heavy, the NFL is just forced to say, you know what, instead of paying this, we'll come to an agreement.
Well, that would never happen. I still think within 10 to 15 years. I mean, NFL executives could think that right now. I think it's hard to tell what's going to happen 10 to 15 years down the road in anything. And it's just tough to pass up the 21st media market in America only if the economy recovers at some point, which obviously it's not in a place to do at this moment. You wanted to get into baseball a little bit, John. And that was our boy, David Freese, coming through in the clutch for the Los Angeles Dodgers of St. Louis last night.
I was so pumped up. I mean, guys, former St. Louis guys have, and in particular, former St. Louisans have had some big, I mean, the first baseman that went to the Yankees.
Luke Voit.
Was a key to their stretch drive.
Absolutely right.
I mean, he was a legit. I mean, Yankee fans dig this cat. Seriously.
Yep.
I mean, a couple of the boys that I work with on the weekend in L.A. are New Yorkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, thanks for sending your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed chasing
right
Shreve.
Here. What?
Hope you guys enjoyed chasing Shreve.
But you have Freeze.
Yeah.
They came up big in a clutch situation.
They went to the same high school. They're both Lafayette boys.
I want to see the Dodgers so badly against the Yankees or the Red Sox. You have no idea. Although, I'll tell you what right now. I want that just because I'm an old-timer.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a couple Yankee-Dodger series, which was fun. You know, but I've never seen a Dodger-Red Sox. I don't know. Has there ever been a Dodger-Red Sox series, Rock? I don't know if there's ever been a Red Sox World Series. And you may even have to go back to Brooklyn.
Yeah, I definitely think that's
Brooklyn. So anyhow, but
1916?
Yeah.
1916? There you go.
It's a Red Sox, one of the rare Red Sox wins. They beat the Brooklyn Dodgers. 4-1.
So you have to go back more than 100
Casey
years.
Casey Stengel. Yep.
More than 100 years.
Oh, how about this? And this is crazy. The Red Sox's Babe Ruth pitched 13 shutout innings in Game 2, starting consecutive scoreless inning streaks that would reach 29 in 1918. So that's how long ago Babe Ruth was still throwing complete games.
That is awesome. But I'll tell you what right now, as much as I'd like to see that as an old-timer, I'm not sure that there's a team I enjoy watch playing more than the Houston Astros. That is just a fun team to watch play baseball.
They are. And look, they've been dominant for 2 years straight. I still don't think they have what it takes. The Red Sox may be the best team you've ever seen. You saw them yesterday. The Yankees are a good team, yes. And they got beat, 14-1? And that's like par for the course for the Red Sox. This group of Red Sox, I mean, you saw the player. Was it David Price that said earlier this year, fellas, we're playing on the best team ever assembled.
Yeah, but guess what? Yankees win Game 4, the pressure's right back on the Red Sox.
Oh, absolutely right. Absolutely. We've seen this for years. There's no guarantee that they're even going to make it to the World Series, but oh my gosh, are they good. And in baseball, more than the other sports, I guess not more than the other sports, certainly more than football, when you have 7 games, typically the better team will win.
I think man for man this year, that especially when you factor in injury, I think the Red Sox are a better team than the Yankees. So I don't care what the circumstance. If the Red Sox and the Yankees are playing a winner takes all game, I will cancel whatever I have and sit down in front of the TV and watch that game. So I would love to see a Game 5.
Randy may not be happy about that.
I just forced him to come to where I'm at. I'm serious.
Looking back, would you, if you were the Cardinals?
Let me finish.
Okay.
Up. But I'm not sure that I want to see Boston at full strength, not winded, not using extra arms. So I vacillate between seeing a Game 5 of Yankees Red Sox or just seeing Boston finish it off, and let's just start this Houston Boston series.
Yeah.
Because that is going to be awesome. Awesome.
Looking back, and I think most people would do this. Looking back, JD Martinez, 5-year, $109 million, looks pretty good.
That might have been the most heinous mistake of my preseason baseball prediction, or discussion, not prediction, discussion, when I said the Cardinals would be crazy to pay him that kind of money.
Yep.
He's not worth it. Previous year was a bit of an aberration. Oh, he's good. He'll put up decent numbers, but he'll never match that.
43 home
runs.
He
exceeded it in every aspect by what, 20%, Rock?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you go. He's been really good back to 2015. We know last year he split between Detroit and Arizona. 2015, he had 102 RBIs, 38 home runs. Last year, in total, he had 104 RBIs and 45 home runs. And then this year, 130 RBIs, which can only happen like that. Like, that's what Scott Rowland did that 1 year, didn't he? Yeah. That can only happen on a team that's just scoring out of this world, and 43 home runs. So that's 3 years now where he's averaging over 40 home runs and 110 RBIs.
Scott Rowland, I think, could be this generation's Bob Forsh. Bob Forsh was an absolute force on the mound when the Cardinals were horrid.
No.
So most of his career, Bob Forsh was one of those guys who overcame ineptitude and mediocrity. Bob Forrest is truly one of the top 10 pitchers I've seen throw for the Cardinals. You know, when you talk about great Cardinal pitchers, nobody talks about Bob Forrest.
No.
Bob Forrest is not on the level of Bob Gibson by any means. But he should clearly be in that second level, and he's not. Scott Rowland, I don't know that I will ever witness a better third baseman ever wear the Cardinal uniform than Scott Rowland. Seriously.
Certainly hadn't had one since.
You know.
Nobody in the galaxy.
And you know, and there were some people disappointed with his offensive performance at times. His defense, impeccable. Impeccable. You could bring up numbers that tell me Scott Rowland was just this or that, and I'll just tell you, take a long walk on a short pier. Because the eye test will tell you that if you wanted the guy at third base in clutch situations, Rock, he was the guy.
Here's a good stat for you.
It's a great position because there's just so few impact players any time in the league at that spot.
So you know how everybody was looking at Matt Carpenter this year and they said, wow, his WAR of 5.5 or whatever it was, mm-hmm. It was like 5.3, it was incredible and near the top of the NL. In 2004, Scott Rowland had a 9.2. Mm-hmm. In 2006, he had a 5.9. Mm-hmm. Even in 2010, when he was, I mean, this is 2 years before he retired, he had a 4.1. Yeah. Scott Rowland, say what you want about the guy, he was not even known necessarily for his offense because his glove was so good, and those are the type of numbers that he put up. I mean, he had defensive runs saved. That 04 year, I just told you he was a 9.5. He had 30 defensive runs saved.
Doesn't remotely surprise me. He was that good. He literally one of the best third basemen I've ever seen, and certainly the best Cardinal third baseman that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to see a better shortstop than Ozzie Smith ever. I'm never going to see a better offensive catcher than Ted Simmons. I'm never going to see a better defensive catcher than Yadier Molina. I'll never see a better pitcher than Bob Gibson. I'll never see a better overall player than Albert Pujols.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that I can definitively state that I there's just no way for me to believe I'll be wrong. I just can't imagine, especially with the way I live life and my shortened expectancy, that I will ever see a better third baseman than Scott Rowland. He was so good.
You know, that going back to J.D. Martinez, it's something that we just have not discussed. You traded. You didn't have to spend your money yet. But, you know, you traded a couple decent prospects for Ozuna and could have paid $110 million to get arguably the best player in the American League this year.
Yeah. I just, again...
Now, at the time, right, this is obviously, in your words, hindsight is 50-50, John.
Correct. Yes, exactly.
And that's right. But his OPS this year was over 1,000.
No, probably the two most ridiculous statements I've ever made were Martinez, there's no way he'll ever match his numbers and he'll be the most overpaid guy. And the other one was Craig James is going to be better than Eric Dickerson.
Those Craig James, things, the ESPN analyst?
Yeah. And those two things, nobody even cares that I ever said, but I just can't get them out of my head because I'm still trying to think to myself, how could you be so stupid?
We all have those ones.
Well, J.D. Martinez, he did just do it for 1 year.
Ever has screwed me, really. Like Brady Quinn and Jimmy Clausen just made me question if I knew what the sport of football was about.
Jimmy Clausen, really, in your defense...
Like, I worked with Brady Quinn, as you know.
They both looked good.
I really like him.
Jimmy Clausen, in your defense, was so much media hype that, like, even if you never saw him play, you thought this must be the greatest player in the history of the
world. Also, how was Matt Leinart not better? God, I thought that lefty could sling it.
Oh, Leinart was terrific in college.
Yeah.
Couldn't
do it.
You know, just didn't make it in the pros.
But I was 13 when I was evaluating those guys, so I give myself a little bit
of a pass. I go back even further. I remember Beano Cook definitively stating that Ron Paulus was going to win two Heisman trophies at Notre Dame.
God.
So the whole Notre Dame quarterback thing goes back some time.
Yeah, that's been a lot of people.
Matt Leinart,
running back,
may have had a different career if Kurt Warner wasn't there backing him up. Because you put Kurt in and see ya. And that was it. Kurt Warner turned into NFL Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
again.
Leinart was just never great in the stretches he got.
That's true. But when you're a rookie and there's a guy that's been that good and then is that good again behind you, that stunts your growth.
Oh, yeah. And Leinart never really played for any good teams.
Right. Never did.
You know, so it's not like he was sitting there with a lot of... But I'll tell you this much. As you know, I got home early because I was in Dallas instead of Los Angeles this weekend. So I got to catch it live. I didn't have to watch any of these links or DVDs of the games. Man, you want to talk about some freshman quarterback playing well. That's about as good a week as you're going to get in the NFL.
Oh my gosh,
a rookie quarterback.
Yes.
Well, I said freshman quarterbacks tonight.
Yeah, we get it.
Still the same thing.
That's true. That's right.
It's weird. We never call rookies freshmen, but we love saying sophomores.
That's true.
Yeah. Is there? I think that might be maybe the biggest yardstick. I mean, guys throwing for 5,000
like
crazy.
But the gender, other gender, likes hardmores. Go ahead. What?
Do you get it? Rock, do you get it?
Guys are throwing for 5,000 yards, and that's pretty indicative of how much the rule change has changed the game.
Answer, TJ.
But rookie quarterbacks coming out and being able to slice defenses apart in, you know, their third week out, or sometimes their first week out, like Sam Darnold, I think that's a pretty
fun stat for
stark example for just how bad the defenses are. Not necessarily how bad they're playing, just they're at a disadvantage.
So before Baker Mayfield, the Browns had 2 wins in 1,010 days. In the Baker era, they have 2 wins in 17 days.
You know what?
It's a slight
I never
difference.
Thought about looking that up, but that's a brilliant number. And so true. But, I mean, it's just I don't know how long this is going to last for this cat, but he's almost must-watch sports TV right now.
So Clay Travis said this yesterday.
I probably shouldn't be chewing gum as I'm talking. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. But, I mean, you do you, bud. Clay Travis said this yesterday on the that gambling show, Lock It In. Perhaps the best compliment you can give Baker Mayfield right now is that he looks like he did in college. And that's confident. That is ball placement. That is the guy that you drafted him to be. Not trying to play outside of himself and be crazy and go out and make plays and the game's too fast. He just sits back there and he delivers strikes. And Baker Mayfield, you like the advanced football stat. This is probably my second favorite football stat. I love yards per attempt. It says a lot about a quarterback. Here's the other one that I love. Adjusted completion percentage. He's the only quarterback in the history of Pro Football Focus studies that has had over an 80% adjusted completion percentage. Baker Mayfield was unstoppable in college. He was ungodly accurate, and he's not been that in the NFL, but he's been accurate, and that's what you hoped it'd be.
Well, you never know. I mean, now that the Patriots are out of it, you know? I mean, now the Patriots are buried and dead, and they can't win another game the rest of the year, and there's no way they'll make the playoffs. Maybe the Browns could surprise some people. With Belichick and the Patriots being done, remember? Weren't the Patriots done?
Yeah. Speaking of our boy Clay Travis, he declared that. I'm like, come on, Clay, you know better.
Somebody else in this room that was thinking it.
Now, Rock knows better. He was hoping it.
That's what I said.
He was thinking it. I thought it was a guarantee when I finally, for the first time ever, drafted Tom Brady to one of my fantasy teams. I thought that was a guarantee that they were going to suck.
Oh, you know better,
Rock. Because the first thing that happened was my other fantasy quarterback almost snapped his ACL in Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, my God.
I thought I was done. I thought Tom Brady was screwed. I thought I was the one who had done it, which would have felt great. But...
Rock, that was
again the rumors of their demise. Again, a little bit
highly
too
exaggerated,
soon.
Boys.
Jump the gun on that one a little bit.
Exaggerated. Doesn't that hurt? Doesn't that suck? That every time you look up, there's the Patriots again.
I mean, they drafted a ridiculously talented. I mean, they got a ridiculously talented wide receiver for a fifth round pick
and
again.
A running back. Sonny Michel has been crazy. He I think he was at 98 yards last week.
Somebody who didn't belong in the NFL, according to Boston radio host after week two.
Sonny Michel?
Yeah, there's a couple of rants that went viral of them saying that he doesn't belong in the NFL after 2 weeks.
Boston Radio. John, why don't we go up there? We could say anything we want to make national news. They don't have to say anything intelligent.
They just
sound like idiots when they say it.
Spend the entire time saying stuff just to fire people up because the easiest thing to do is to point to the negative and play vocal a minority.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because it's such a tortured fan base, you know?
I don't know if it's well, see, you need to get over that too. I've had this discussion with Bostonians. Get over it. Yeah. Patriots, Celtics, Red Sox, Bruins even won a cup in the last decade.
80 years means
right?
Nothing when you rattled off the last 12 the way you have.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Since 2001,
every one of their teams have won the championship in the last decade.
Since 2008, since 2008, because I think the Celtics won in 2008, that was the last one. Since that time, every single one of their four sports teams has won. And since 2001,
two of them have won multiple.
I believe they have the most championships across the board than any other city.
The Patriots will be in the playoffs this year. Red Sox could very well be in the World Series. Celtics are now considered to be a sleeper in the NBA.
They're the favorite in the East.
Right.
And the Bruins are considered by some to be the favorite for the Cubs.
The only bad thing that's ever happened to Boston in the last 10 years is trading away Tyler Seguin. That is honestly, I honestly believe the only large
Tom Brady
tore
his ACL in 2008.
That was 1 year. Tyler Seguin being gone has been multiple years.
I know,
of,
you said
of
the
90
only
points.
Bad thing that happened.
The
then.
Only thing that's
Tom Brady, pretty boy Tom Last Brady, tore his ACL. That was a bad thing. It was bad, Rock.
Fair enough.
It was bad.
That and the Carl Crawford trade.
And the one number, because I wasn't around to talk about it, is all you have to say about Tom Brady, you don't have to say anything else. All you have to say is he's throwing 500 career touchdown passes. That's it. Just
and the last one, can you believe it was to Josh Gordon?
Touchdown pass. Can. Because then he broke. Because he also, with that touchdown, he broke two records. The other record he broke, that was the 71st player he threw a touchdown pass, breaking Vinny Testaverde's record.
So you watched that play. You saw it.
Yeah, right? 71 different players.
See, there's a number I did
well,
not
Vinny
know.
Well, Vinny Testaverde, having done that, is the one that's actually more impressive.
That's what I'm saying. 70,
yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
The guy was like 45 when he stopped playing.
Okay. I didn't. Does it include does Arena any, and Canadian?
Yeah, I was about to say, did anybody know that Vinny threw 70 touchdowns in totality?
That's a fair point.
No, there is. Did you watch that play, the 500 touchdown?
Yeah, I did. Well, let's take a break so I can talk for another 10 minutes before I got to go into this meeting.
All right, real quick. Hey, join me. I'm going to be at Hot Shots down in Fenton this week for the Alabama game, 6 o'clock. Come drown out all of your sorrows with me.
Exactly. Let's make the let's comfort one another with what we know is going to be Mizzou's last loss of the season.
That's right.
Take it like men, take it like women. And then just realize that we may not lose another game after this one.
That's right. That's right. So join me for all the Tiger action this fall. It's at different Hot Shots around the area. This one is in Fenton. So they have these Tiger-themed food and drink menus, the halftime Tiger trivia games, a lot of other stuff. You can register at each party. You can they will give out two tickets to the Arkansas game, $100 gas card, an awesome cooler where you can put your drinks for the tailgate. So, Rock, you had the Truman Nachos, which feeds 90.
Yeah, if you're going, if you or end up there alone, or you just want to eat alone, you don't want to share your food with your disgusting ass friends. Don't get the Truman Nachos. Get the MIZ burger.
Yeah, the burger's good. They have Tiger style fries as well.
Or you get the Tiger style fries. Get the burger because the burger's great because it's got pepper jack cheese.
Yeah,
I get it without the jalapeno poppers because I'm a wimp. But you should get it with them.
So here's what happened. Rock was there. He ordered the nachos.
The nachos are
too big.
And
because he doesn't like us, he didn't share, so he forced himself to eat all of the nachos himself.
I did.
So Rock has been
and it's excessive. Share with people.
Yeah, he gained 9 pounds.
Get the burger, which, again, spicy but delicious.
Hot Shots down in Fenton. Do not miss it. Throw a jersey on. It's football season. We're about to make a run, baby. Six straight, right? Six straight after
Alabama. Get hot.
Six straight. That's 3-2, baby. Six straight puts you at 9-3. I like it. Let's do it. It's the Hard Line.